Thank you, God, for this lesson. I pray that this lesson reaches to everyone in the room mm-hmm. and outside the room, that it can reach others in need of it, or whoever. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I was just sharing with Fred that I'm always the lucky one. I got the Sunday before Christmas. Now I got Pandemic Sunday. So, I think we're just not gonna.
Hey, there's nothing lucky about it, bro.
I'm gonna tell Bob that he needs to give me a hiatus for about a year. So. Today's topic, or this morning's topic, is just a simple word of call that I titled rebuild, right? Because it seems that pretty soon we're going to have to be doing a lot of rebuilding. Ironically, what I'm talking about is prior to today, but it kind of just started to mesh in all of it. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, I'm just going to read from verse 1 to 3. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah.
See,
Pastor Don is like my Wikipedia. Now it happened in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah and asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. There, I take the inspection of the wall, right? Nehemiah really, really was looking for the status or the condition of the wall. 3 Sundays ago, the most important thing is for us to be open-minded and pay attention to. It can be sometimes the most simplest words. About 3 weeks ago, I was sitting here preparing coffee. It was after service, and Ricardo was downstairs, and I seen it was low, and I was getting ready to make coffee, and Bob comes up to me, he's grabbing coffee, and out of nowhere, he says, brother, I got a word for you. And he said, God just tells me to tell you, no matter what, he's got your back. Right, and I shared this in home group, so it's going to be kind of redundant, but
sorry.
I didn't take his words and like sit. I didn't sit there and actually pay attention to them. It was just something that happened, right? And I'm a very guarded person when it comes to church and to things that I have to do and the Lord. And so I feel that my wall is always up, my spiritual wall. So when Bob told me that, I didn't understand it, and I just took it like, okay, you know, it's Bob. Bob always tells you what God tells you to tell him, regardless of what anyone says. So that Monday in work, it was a very challenging day. At the end of the day, there was an episode. The episode was basically one of my employees yelling at me and threatening to hit me. It was an assistant supervisor. And my temper's about the size of my height. Just very short, right? My fuse. So, but the whole time, it was just a piece in me. And I'm like, you know what? And when something like that happens, usually it's termination right away. So there's something called a change of status. So they stop being an employee, and now they're an ex-employee. Well, I filled it out, but I never submitted it. And I said, I'm going to give them a 24-hour cooling-off period, right? And I said, I understand emotions get high, but and I had been working with this guy since beginning of January. But again, I understand emotions and how some people just don't understand how to deal with stress. So the next day comes around, and I pray and I ask God, just, you know, give me wisdom, man. Give me wisdom, because sometimes, you know, people create errors and act unwisely. But I also need to know when a relationship must be severed and when it starts to afflict my spirit. So I have to pray, and I have to continuously pray. Right? Nehemiah 1:11 says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was cupbearer to the king. There he's asking for permission. Right, Pastor? He's asking for permission basically to go help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Me, I was asking wisdom from the Lord to not be overzealous. But also, I have to understand that I can only be merciful to a certain point, right? Because I am human, I am flesh. So the issues began brewing at 10:30 the next morning. So 10:30 the next morning, it wasn't even within a 24-hour period. I did what I was supposed to do. I wrote down everything and sent an email to the parties that's supposed to be. And my current director of operations, who is the person I report to currently, he is a extremely practicing Christian. He is studying to get his degree in Christian ministry. So I called him and told him, hey, this is the situation. And then I told him, I said, this is the situation. And then I told him, but this is why I'm doing it. And he says, I understand, right? He says, I understand. I said, I'm trying to be merciful. Well, then the director of human resources called me, and it went from 0 to 100 very, very fast. So it went to allegations of inappropriate conduct. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, I haven't even turned in the documents to sever him because I'm trying to be merciful. And at that point, I wouldn't say the Holy Spirit left my body, but I was
just for a moment. Not really.
But at that moment, I didn't let the Holy Spirit guide me. I started making my own conclusions, and I had been offered 3 jobs. So my first reaction to the person was like, let me know if I'm going to be terminated because I have other job offers pending. Me and my wisdom, right? I'm so wise. But that's not what God's intentions were. So the reply from this person was like, hold on. We don't think you did anything wrong. We know the type of person you are. Just hold on. But there's certain things that we have to do. But that point is where people started texting me like, Ricardo. I was like, bro, you okay? I'm like, I don't want to talk to this guy right now because it's not going to be pretty. But the Holy Spirit knew that I was afflicted, right? And when I tried to share this with my wife, she was afflicted. And she began saying, well, don't you serve God? I'm like, yeah. Right? Because it always goes back to, you know, why is God letting you down? But like I tried to explain to her, there's many reasons why the Lord gives us these trials. And I try not to read a ton, so I apologize, because this unfortunately happens to have a lot of reading in it. And I promise you that's never my intention. Nehemiah 2, verse 12 and 13. Well, let's start at 11. It says, so I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. And I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one at which I rode. I went out by night, by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by the fire. So there, you know, he asked and then he actually went to inspect, right? I had been told by somebody that God has my back, right? And even though I never asked, but when I started to inspect myself and listened to the Word of God, and I started paying attention. I'm like, you prepared me for this. You prepared me for what was coming. Even with those simple words, you prepared me for what was coming. You prepared with us in the sermons that we've had lately. You've prepared us in just the conversations that we've had lately. Right? So I started thinking about brick and mortar. Right? That's what walls are built with, right? And I started understanding that in reality, the strength doesn't come from the brick. The strength doesn't come from the strongest thing. It comes from the mortar that's holding it together. It's the least thing that you see. Right? Right, construction man? Because you can pile a whole bunch of bricks together and they can be easily moved. Now, when you add mortar, it's what's holding them together. Right? That's our relationship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Bible studies, the fellowshipping. And sometimes I laugh because I fellowship with people at work. Like when I sit with Jose, which we typically have lunch once a week now because of my work situation. When we sit to eat at a restaurant, we pray, and it's not, Lord, thank you for this food only. It's, Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for this fellowship with my brother. Because even though we're talking about work, we always end up talking about God in one way or another. So I sat there, and I really paid attention. It's funny because it says that the bricks were burned, but burned bricks are pretty good too, huh, Fred? They work just the same. In fact, they need to be tried by fire in order to make them as solid as they are. So I can be burned. I can be toppled over. I can be damaged. But eventually, if I continue to do what I'm supposed to do, I can be rebuilt. Right? And rebuilding is the church. It's the family. So we sat there, and this issue began to brew. But I had faith in the Lord. And then, just like Nehemiah, it says there was an opposition on my end. So Nehemiah 4, verses 1 to 3, talks about the opposition to him. It says, now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stone out of the heaps of rubbish and burned out and burned ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Now he's making fun of how strong the wall was going to be, right? He says, what are they going to do? Use rubble to rebuild? Right? Use scraps. Well, that's what Jesus uses. That's what the Lord uses. When I came to him, I was nothing but, I wasn't pure. I was something that no one wanted, right? And most of us, I believe, that weren't actually not raised in the church, because I was raised in the church, but I was nowhere near the church, right? I was considered a defective product. Yet the Lord used me. And the Lord used me in ways where you sit there and you're like, yeah, whew. People's like, yeah, I learned this because Eli showed me this. My bro, I didn't show you because that was never my intent, right? But it's funny how there's always opposition when we want to praise the Lord or we want to live a righteous life or when we want to do things the right way. The funny thing is, well, those who were supposed to be my allies at work were all part of this. And I heard through this colleague, through the director of operations, he's like, hey, so this is what happened. So your ex-employee went to the customer and this customer and that customer called human resources. I said, well, that customer is no longer involved with my operation. And he's like, yeah, but isn't she your friend? I said, bro, I don't have friends. I have brothers and sisters in the Lord and I have God and that's it. You know, we have acquaintances. And she was an acquaintance. At the moment, I was afflicted. I was angry. And I was getting ready to walk to her office and, you know, enact my vengeance. I'm like, no. And I sat there and I thought, like, Bob said God has my back. I'm not believing Bob. I'm believing God, though. Right? Big difference. But again, me, myself, I felt like, you know, your stomach is starting to turn, you know? It's like, hey, I've built this career, now I'm going to have to move on to another one, and it's always hard. But sometimes it can be better, right, Kenny? So I remember that Kenny had got a new job, and that new job came with a new van. I'm like, hey, maybe I'll get a job with a new van, too. You start paying attention to everything that's happened to your brothers and sisters and to your family, and you figure, if God did that for Kenny, if God did that for Ricardo, God's going to do that for me, too, one way or another, right? And that same week, Fred and Esther were talking about their home, and Ricardo was like, yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm like, well, God may have a job where he's going to give me a bigger house. And it's just things that just try to put it into the positive light, right? Because we are children of the light. So I just started leaving it to the side. And day to day, it started, you know, festering inside of me, and I just had to pray. I'm like, you know what, Lord? I need to add more mortar to my wall. I need to add more prayer. I have to, because I'm feeling weak. And I'm feeling weak at the attack of the devil, you know, from so many angles. And the whole time, now we have this coronavirus thing. So I'm sitting in the room with a whole bunch of colleagues. And keep in mind, I'm still thinking one of these are the ones that wanted me gone. So I'm like, God, let me put my anger aside and let me work, because right now I have almost 17,000 people that are going to be affected by the decisions that we make in this room, right? So we sat there, and everybody started saying all these horrible things, and we sat there, and the three people that represent my company were all Christian, like real Christians. So they're all scared, pandemic. He's like, we got to wash our hands. And here's the thing. The things that they were saying made no sense. Like, nothing that they were saying were making any sense. They were like, well, let's get wipes for every teacher. And I'm like, first thing I ask for, God, give me wisdom, right? Because you're thinking on the fly, and everybody's looking at you as the person who hasn't stopped the virus, because you're in charge of the facilities, right? So that's how they look at us. So they say, hey, what about wipes? I'm like, yeah, you guys have 860 teachers, average of 30 students. A container of wipes that we provide is 75. In a can, like, you guys will go through those in a day. I said, and here's the next problem. You won't have anything to replenish it. Because they were all agreeing, like, yeah, great idea. I'm like, yeah, and then you won't have anything to replenish it. And they're like, yeah, you're right. Like, well, let's give every teacher a bottle of sanitizer and a rag. 860 bottles, 860 rags. I said, and then the parapros are going to want one. And then the secretaries are going to want one, and administrators are going to want one. And then I said, what are you doing? What are you saying? I'm like, you guys are creating an environment where chaos is prevalent. You're creating the environment. And they're like, why are you so calm? And I said, man, because if the world ends, I know where I'm going. And one of them looked at me. We're not supposed to miss church and state. I'm like, well, church is being mixed in by state right about now. Because now all of a sudden, you know, it's an act of God. And I'm like, hey. Yeah, okay. So we sat there, right? We sat there and we left. Most people left that meeting. And my director of operations said, hey. I said, so the assistant superintendent replied to the email from Human Resources that he wanted to speak to the director privately. And again, my stomach was a little. And I said, what was that about? He's like, oh. He's like, he was angry. I'm like, okay, where am I going next? He's like, no. He was angry that somebody got involved in this, knowing who they were accusing. He said, no. He didn't believe it for a second. He said that other person is going to be reprimanded. He said he just wanted to speak with her to let her know that we're very happy with Eli. And he apologized for those allegations coming from one of his employees, but it will be dealt with. At that moment, I said, whoo, yeah, you have my back, right? And we crossed paths in the halls. And he was like, hey, Eli, you good? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you sure? You need anything? You all right? you happy? I'm like, yeah, I'm happy now. He's like, you know, we appreciate you, right? I'm sitting here like, this guy probably said 5 words to me in the 2 years I've been there. Right? But the word of the Lord says that he will make people humble themselves before you. And not for my glory, because I'm no one. Right? But the mere fact that when people were asking me, are you nervous? I'm like, I'm not going to lie and tell you I'm not. I'm nervous. But I have more faith that the Lord knows what he's doing. That if this is not where he wants me, he has something greater for me. Right? Because all of a sudden people were saying, well, look, I have a relative in Texas, and your position in Texas right now pays well above 6 figures, and I have a job for you waiting. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. And then another person was like, well, I have a position for you in Flushing, Michigan. I don't even know where that's at. It's well over 6 figures, and we'll help you relocate. And then I told my wife, that's far from downriver. And I honestly told her, I said, I'll probably be missing home group. I'll probably be missing Tuesday nights when all this chaos is over. I said, I can't do that. And she was like, but it pays more. I said, but it doesn't matter. I found my center. I found what helps me stay grounded, right? And sometimes when we find that peace in our heart and that peace in our soul, right, people continue to try to distract you and pull you away, right, and try to deter you from what the Lord has for you.
Right.
And I have verses 1 through 9. This is a lot, but this is where the... chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. This is, again, where the warnings or the people trying to help you, supposedly, start to come out. It says, now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come and let us meet together at Hakkaphirim, in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave and it come down to you? And they sent to me 4 times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat for the 5th time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand, and it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah, and now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things that you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking, their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. All right, so he tried 4 times, right? Very deceivingly. And probably more than that, I received these, you know, hey, come on, let's do this, let's do that. And I was like, no, I'm good, I'm going to wait. And I've shared some of these job offers with Ricardo. And we both agreed some of them were pretty good. And they were all trying to deter me or pull me away from what the Lord had. So, as we finally sat in this meeting about the coronavirus, and everybody was going cuckoo, and they were saying disinfect and this and this and that, and I tell them, like, hey, no matter what you guys do, right, what's going to happen is going to happen. So, if you guys want to close down schools, I understand it. I said, I understand the reasoning for it. I said, it's just to reduce how many people are actually out here talking and moving around. I said, that's great. I said, but you guys need to stop saying it's the end of the world. I said, because you guys have done that. You did it through Y2K. You've done it with the norovirus. You did it with the swine flu. I said, the Bible says that no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, at his hand. Like, we don't know. So all three of us Christians sat there and we laughed because we said, man, it's funny. And Ricardo and I said, hey, when is it that we start thinking out of fear, right? And I said, people have started thinking out of fear, pandemonium and chaos. But here's what I've seen. Where he says, oh, Lord, strengthen my hand. I've seen that in my day-to-day job in these last couple of weeks, right? To the point where now it's, hey, if Eli wouldn't have been here, if he would have left, who was going to tell us what to do? Right? And not only that, I see it in my Christian brothers and sisters. I've seen Facebook postings that say, hey, I got an abundant supply. What is it you need? And I sat there like most people are hoarding stuff. I had a lot of canned vegetables, and my mom came over and a couple people from work, and I'm like, if you guys need anything, like, we have quite a bit. I said, my 16-year-old eats like there's no end in sight. I said, but if you need it, I got it. And that's the same message that I've seen from a lot of Christians, like practicing true believers. Like, we ain't scared of no flu. We're taking precautions, but we ain't scared of it. We'd be stupid not to take precautions because we have to obey the law of the land. And right now the law of the land says to be cautious. But we're not in fear. I'm not. I guarantee most people in here are not. My dad is 74. He just turned 74. I said, Dad, you scared? He's like, for what? I've never drank in my life. I said, that's not how you catch it. I'm like, that's not how you catch it, Dad. Huh? He is. He thinks floods are still a thing. So verse 6, chapter 6, verse 15 through 16 says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. For they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of God. I don't know if many of you believe that there's things that you can do without the help of the Lord, but I see the time frame and I see the time that we're talking about. And I don't know, but that's basically how long it takes them to fix one section of I-75 today. Right? And we're talking about in days where they use levers and they use equilibrium to move things. So it had to be an act of God. And at the end of my dilemma, and I'm like, Lord, you made this problem go away in less than a week. Even though it had been brewing for, and the funny part was that it was brewing, but I was helping the people that were conspiring against me. I was helping them keep a job. I was helping. One of them said, hey, please don't fire me. I have a 6-month-old daughter. And I'm like, I'm not firing you, man. The whole time I should have fired him. But that's not the problem. The problem is I was being merciful because at one point the Lord had mercy on me or put mercy in someone, an act of mercy towards me. So I've paid it forward. And I sat there. And as we start seeing this whole issue of everything crumbling against us, I was sitting and I said, man, I can see these masses, their spiritual walls crumble. Not only their physical, they're becoming frail, but their spiritual walls crumble. And that's not happening to me because I have peace in the Lord, right? During that trial, he let me strengthen a little bit more the mortar that was talking to him a little bit more, praising him a lot more, and thanking him. And I was already thanking him for things that I hadn't seen fulfilled. I was thanking him because I was like, whatever happens, Lord, you know. Right? Right before this whole crazy stuff started, financially, I've been struggling for other reasons. But at that moment, the Lord put enough finances in my bank account to handle all these problems that came. And my wife was like, well, how did that happen? I'm like, I don't know, man. I have a heavenly automatic telling machine. Right? Like, it happens. It comes in when it needs to come. Doesn't give me more because he knows I'll act a fool. But, like, we have to understand that, right? There's limits. And we should also pray, like, Lord, understand and know my limits. Know as far as I can go. Right? But as I sat there yesterday, this is yesterday, and we went, this is funny because we went to Chuck E. Cheese because there was a party for one of my nieces and nephews. I don't know if you guys ever had a party at Chuck E. Cheese, but when it says 2 hours, they're not playing. It's like an hour and 58 minutes and they want you gone. So we had this party, and one, there's almost nobody there. And then the party started at 3, and it was 6:45, and nobody had kicked us out yet. And I tell my wife, you know what? Us Christians, we need to take advantage of this. Yeah. We need to start having home group at Chuck E. Cheese. Right? I said, because I'm not scared. We're like the Ghostbusters. Like, we're not scared because we know where we go. Right? I have peace in my home, right? So I'll sit, because now my wife's family wants to come to church. It always happens. It's inevitable. The world is fine. People don't go to church. There's a pandemic. Everybody comes to church. So I tell my wife, I said, she's like, why are you not scared? I said, you know why? I said, because I cannot allow a temporary issue, a temporary offense, a temporary fear, evict the Holy Spirit from my home. It can't happen. I said, I can't let it happen. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, the Holy Spirit resides in my home. But when I start believing and acting and being crazy, I no longer represent the values of a Christian. You know, I no longer represent these things. When I'm going and fighting somebody for some bottle of water, when the tap water is perfectly fine, I no longer hold the values of being a Christian. I no longer represent the Lord. So I represent my job. So if I start acting a fool, I no longer can represent my job. It's the same with the Lord. Like, we sat there, and we went again the other day. My wife was like, hey, I need two things. And we went, and it was, my wife was scared. My wife was so scared, and she was like, oh my God, there's no fruit and vegetables, there's no toilet paper, there's no paper towel. Well, there was paper towel. Right? So I grabbed one, and I made 3 rolls of toilet paper out of it. So my wife was like, where'd you find those? I'm like, I just made them.
Was it brawny?
Huh? Was it brawny? No, no. So my wife sat there, and she was in fear. She was in fear. And I said, there's a simple explanation for that. She's like, what? I said, all the crazies have caused pandemonium, which have shut down the ports, which have shut down the trucking industry. I said, this is all created by crazy people. Uh-huh. And she's like, you're not scared? I'm like, nah, man. The Lord taught me how to. He gave us dirt. He gave us soil. He gave us water. He gave us seeds. Like, he gave us the understanding of how to do these things for ourselves. I said, you shouldn't be scared of this. I said, especially if you're Puerto Rican and Mexican, because we buy everything that's canned and leave it for 6 years and say it's still good. I guarantee you, you'll go, it says expired in 2018, and we're like, still good. It's still good. And we will eat it. And my wife was like, I wish I could be as happy as you. I'm like, have a relationship with God and you will be. Trust in the Lord and you will be. I said, because it's funny to me how everybody's acting all of a sudden. I said, it's funny to me. I said, I understand the frightening part about it, but it's still funny to me. Like my brother called me, he's like, hey, I went home. I went to Target and I got a whole bunch of bullets. He was like, you going? I'm like, no, I know Dan. So we're good. I'm like, we're good. And he's like, who's this guy you're talking about? I'm like, don't worry about it, bro. I said, we'll all hunker down in the church and we'll be fine. And my brother, you know, it's just like, He's like, why is this so funny to you? I'm like, it's not, bro. It's all coming to me right now. The Spirit is just telling me, like, hey, this is who does this. This is who does that. This is who does this. This is who has that. Like, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not scared. And my brother left the church a long time ago. He just goes to keep my mom happy. And one day I told my mom, I said, how is that helpful? He's coming to keep you happy. He has no relationship with the Lord. His relationship is with you. I said, now he's scared. And I told her, now he's scared. Now is when you start seeing the mistakes that a lot of us have made with our friends and families and our kids. Like, hey, our kids want to have a relationship with God because of us. No, you need to have that relationship with you because you can't ride with my ticket. My ticket is only one. I can only admit one. So now I'm starting to see a lot of them so scared. And I tell my brother, like, bro, I said, homie, I said, you need to understand that you need to talk to God. And don't talk to God out of fear. Talk to God out of understanding, and everything that you were taught as a child, revert back to the Word of God and understand that many will come and say all these things, because they will. They'll create fear and pandemic. And the first thing they said was, like, we need to shut down the churches.
Yeah.
Right? This is that we need to shut down the churches. I'm like, bro, do you know how much holy oil is in the church? We'll be fine. Like, we are fine. And they said, my son read a sign on the way here this morning. He's like, Dad, look, that was pretty good. I said, what? It says, the only true vaccine for the coronavirus is the Holy Spirit. That's it. So I thank you guys for letting me let you laugh a little bit and learn a little bit. And I hope that you all enjoyed it. He said, I'm the lady.
Just a quick comment before we close and go down. Yeah, I think it was pertinent that you used the book of Nehemiah. You know, the name Nehemiah means Yahweh comforts, or God comforts. And where should our comfort come through when the world is falling apart and in panic? We should have that stability, that peace that God gets us through. And Nehemiah here, you see, every instance that he came, he met it with prayer. He met it with trusting in God, but he also met it with courage. Taking preparations.
And courage.
You know, he just didn't run into anything. And unfortunately, there's Christians, you know, well, hey, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. You have to use some wisdom, too.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was Nehemiah posting the guard with the weapons in their hands.
While the others worked.
The workers, whatever it was, there was practical steps that they had to take. And so we as the people of God, yeah, there's practical steps. We have to do our part. God does his part. He just doesn't say, hey, I'm going to do it all for you, you know, but he's right in there with us. So I always enjoy the book of Nehemiah. You know, it's a great book about restoration, about rebuilding, but there's always obstacles that have to become overcome, and an opposition that's going to come from those that are close to you, that should be in league with you, you know, and it's an incredible book. I would recommend a book. It's called Hand Me Another Brick by Charles Swindell, and it's on the book of Nehemiah. You probably can get it on your Kindle, or probably can have it ordered for under $10. Kindle, I think, is just a couple bucks. So, but it's about the book of Nehemiah, and it's all these different things. So, in the real world, you're going to come in contact with these things, and you know, take encouragement from what Nehemiah did. He sought the Lord. He wept. You know, he got a course of wisdom. He went to the proper channels. Just didn't run out there. Went to the king. Sought God, fasted, and what have you. So, you know, the president has mentioned today is a day of prayer throughout the land, praying for our nation, praying for those that, you know, are sick, those that are in fear. It's a great opportunity to really show the glory of God. And so, good word today, Eli.
And that was actually, those notes were from October from Band of Brothers.
Yeah. It just what a coincidence, yeah. You know, when you preach, you always go through what you're going to preach on, right?
Oh, I went through it.
I couldn't help but think that. I'm glad I don't teach this class no more. I ain't going through nothing. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. And Lord, as we go down, we pray that we can come down and worship you. Lord, continue to move through your people, through our nation, through our lands. You are King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords, and you reign over all. Father, we thank you for the word that Eli brought forth this morning. We thank you for the food that was provided. And now we come into your presence just to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.